Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Today is President's Day, and historian Bill Federer is here to discuss how Christian faith impacted many presidents and influenced America from its beginning. Later this week, Micah Van Hus will reveal if Noah's Ark has been found, and author Lee Brainerd shows us how to prove the pre-tribulational rapture is true. This Saturday is our first Define the Demonic event of the year. Join Drs. Ken Copley and Greg Patton for Define the Demonic. It's a one-day intensive conference this Saturday, February 22nd, in Elizabethton, Tennessee. Learn how to recognize and overcome the enemy's lies, break strongholds, and guide others to freedom in Christ. This practical, faith-empowering event includes expert teaching, a question-and-answer session, and a copy of the Define the Demonic workbook. Register today. Visit swrc.com or call 1-800-652-1144. Define the Demonic Spiritual Warfare Conference this Saturday, February 22nd, in Elizabethton, Tennessee. Did you know that Charles Darwin and Abraham Lincoln were born on the same day? Both of these men transformed the world, but in vastly different ways. Historian, author, and speaker Bill Federer joins Watchmen on the Wall to explain this history. He also reveals how the Christian faith impacted many presidents and influenced America from its beginning. Here's today's host, Ministry President Dr. Kenneth Hill, with our guest, Bill Federer.
God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. Welcome to SWRC's Watchmen on the Wall radio broadcast for this President's Day 2025. My name is Kenneth Hill. I am the president of Southwest Radio Church, SWRC, and as such, I have the opportunity to meet people that are important to the kingdom of God. Bill Federer is one of those people. I remember when I was just a pup, we recorded your first book. We recorded about your first book, America's God and Country. And that book was a bestseller. I think it broke all records, didn't it, Bill? It was wonderful.
Yeah, it sold over 500,000 copies.
Wow. All because you and I were talking. That's wonderful.
There you go. Thank you so much.
Indeed. Bill Federer is our guest today, and he is a fella that I absolutely love to listen to and to talk with, because he has so much to tell us. And I'm going to step aside and let him tell us about what he's found out about prayers and presidents, and he has in his book, Prayers and Presidents, which we're offering on this program. And we also have his books, America's God and Country, Miracles in American History, Who is King in America, and many others that he has. Bill is a walking historical encyclopedia, and we appreciate him more than we can tell you. My dear friend, Bill Federer, tell me about your book, Prayers and Presidents, and what you want to tell us, what God's laid on your heart for this President's Day 2025.
Well, years ago, I had the thought of reading through all the addresses of all the past presidents and to take the excerpts of their references to God, religion, Christianity, deity, and was just blown away at how they were all referencing God. Matter of fact, they all mentioned God in their inaugural addresses. Harry S. Truman, 1949, we believe all men are created equal because we're created in the image of God. John F. Kennedy's inaugural, 1961, the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God. Some presidents included prayers in their inaugurals. Eisenhower, 1953, before I begin, would you permit me the privilege of uttering a little private prayer of my own? I ask that you bow your heads, Almighty God. We stand here beseeching that thou will make full and complete our dedication. George H.W. Bush, 1989, I've just repeated the oath taken by George Washington 200 years ago, and the Bible on which I place my hand is the Bible on which he placed his. My first act as president is a prayer. Heavenly Father, make us strong to do your work. Some presidents mention Christianity by name in their inaugurals. John Adams, 1797, veneration for the religion of a people who profess and call themselves Christian, and a fixed resolution to consider a decent respect for Christianity among the best recommendations for public service. Ninth President William Henry Harrison, I deem the present occasion sufficiently important to justify me in expressing the profound reverence for the Christian religion. John Tyler, in his first address upon assuming office when William Henry Harrison died, he said, April 13th, 1941, when a Christian people feel themselves to be overtaken by a great public calamity, it becomes them to humble themselves under the dispensations of divine providence. Buchanan, 1857, we ought to cultivate peace in a spirit of Christian benevolence. And Lincoln, in his first inaugural, 1861, intelligence, patriotism, Christianity are still competent to adjust in the best way all our present difficulty. Here's Lincoln mentioning Christianity in his inaugural. Andrew Johnson took over when Lincoln was assassinated, and so his first address in April 29th, 1865, the 25th day of next month, was recommended as a day of prayer in consequence of the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. But whereas my attention has since been called to the fact that the day aforesaid is sacred to large numbers of Christians as one of rejoicing for the ascension of the Savior, I do suggest the religious services be postponed until the first day of June. He's mentioning the Savior. He's mentioning the ascension of Christ in his first address. You have John Quincy Adams, the sixth president, quoted scripture, March 4th, 1825, in his inaugural, knowing that except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain, Psalms 127:1. Lincoln's second inaugural, March 4th, 1865, as was said 3,000 years ago, so still it must be said, the judgments of the Lord are altogether true and righteous, Psalms 19:9. Warren G. Harding's inaugural, 1921, I've taken a solemn oath on the passage of the Holy Writ, wherein is asked, what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God, Micah 6:8. And Jimmy Carter quoted that same verse in his inaugural, 1977. And Donald Trump's first inaugural said, the Bible tells us how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. And of course, his most recent inaugural, Trump said, referring to the assassination attempt, he said, God spared my life for a reason, to save our country and to restore America to greatness. And then he said, we are one people, one family, one glorious nation under God. And then he said, we will not forget our country, we will not forget our Constitution, and we will not forget our God. So that's an overview of the president. But President's Day is actually Washington's birthday. Legally, it was passed as Washington's birthday, February 22nd, 1732 is when he was born. It was the Uniform Monday Holiday Act in 1971 that decided that all holidays would be moved to Monday so that you could have three-day weekends for federal employees. And then, since other presidents like Lincoln were born in February, it got sort of called President's Day, but officially it's still Washington's birthday. You know, people say, who's the best president? Trump's at the top of my list. But go back to George Washington. He was unanimously chosen as the Army's Commander-in-Chief, and so he served throughout the war as Commander-in-Chief. Washington was unanimously chosen to preside over the Constitutional Convention as President of the Convention. Washington was unanimously chosen to be the first President of the United States and unanimously reelected to a second term. This is a pretty strong indication of the respect that he had, that the country had for George Washington. He was Episcopalian, originally Anglican, then Episcopalian. I read all of his orders to his troops, and he's always mentioning God, providence, and thanking God for sparing the troops in battle. And then in many of his orders, he mentions the Creator by name. One of his orders, this was when the Declaration of Independence was written, and they rushed a copy of it out to Washington. He appoints chaplains to every regiment. And then he says, the general hopes and trusts that every officer and man will endeavor to live and act as becomes a Christian soldier, defending the dearest rights and liberties of his country. Then, at Valley Forge, he says that to the distinguished character of patriot, it should be our highest glory to laud the more distinguished character of Christian. And then some Delaware Indian chiefs brought some of their youths to be trained in America's schools, and George Washington tells them, May 12, 1779, you do well to wish to learn our arts and ways of life, and above all, the religion of Jesus Christ. That's Washington. There's more that I could say, but we also recognize Lincoln, born February 12th. I put together in my books some interesting things about Lincoln. And if you like, I can go into that.
Please.
So guess who was born on the same day as Abraham Lincoln? Of course, you know. But it's Charles Darwin. Yes, both of them born the exact same day, February 12th, 1809. But their two lives give us a lesson in contrast. Like Jesus says, wheat and tares grow together till the harvest. Well, you have wheat and tares right here. So Lincoln is best known for what? The Emancipation Proclamation, freeing millions of slaves, claiming that all men are created equal, as he stated in the Gettysburg Address, November 19, 1863. 67 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. That's what Lincoln's known for. Gettysburg Address, emancipation, everybody's equal, free the slaves. Darwin is known for what? Evolution? What does evolution say? Number one, men are not created, they evolved. And they're not equal because some are more evolved than others. So Darwin introduced into humanity that people are not equal and we're not created, we evolved. Karl Marx saw in Darwin, his Origin of Species, this concept of survival of the fittest. And so Karl Marx says that inspired him to do a dialectic conflict, which basically says that survival of the fittest, you're supposed to have the superior people crush the inferior people. Karl Marx wrote in 1861, Darwin's book is very important and serves me as the basis in natural selection for the class struggle in history. Now, Darwin is influencing Karl Marx. Marx even dedicated a copy of his book, Das Kapital, to Charles Darwin, saying that he was a sincere admirer of Darwin. And then who else did Darwin influence? Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood. Seth Gruber with the 1916 Project. That was the year that Margaret Sanger started Planned Parenthood. Margaret Sanger specifically said she wanted to get rid of the weeds of inhuman population, and she included weeds as certain racial groups, and that fueled a lot of the racism that we had in America. And who else did Darwin and Margaret Sanger influence was Ernst Rudin, who was the Nazi minister of racial hygiene. And you're like, what's racial hygiene? I know what hygiene is. That's washing your hands. What's racial hygiene? That's washing the gene pool of inferior races. So how do you do that? You kill them. Darwin is now inspiring the Nazis that are killing Jews and inspiring Stalin and Mao Zedong and Pol Pot and Kim Jong-il. They all want to get rid of a creator, because if there's a creator that is just and you're accountable to him, that's going to be a motivator for you to treat people nice. But if there's no creator, the rights come from the government, and the government is now the new God. There's a quote from Eisenhower, and he said, in some lands, the state claims to be the author of human rights. If the state gives rights, it can, and inevitably will, take away those rights. Our founding fathers had to refer to the creator in order to make their revolutionary experiment make sense. If you have a God, a creator, then number one, he made everybody equal. Number two, he's not a respecter of persons. So we all are equal before the law, male and female, of every race. And the purpose of government, then, is to guarantee to each individual their creator-given rights. The government's purpose is to guarantee to you the rights that were given to you by the creator. But if there is no creator, the government transitions to the dispenser of the rights. And what the government giveth, the government can taketh away. So wherever communism is, they want to teach Darwinism. They want to teach that there's no God. It's just the government. We control the government. We control your lives. And millions were killed by communists in Russia, in China. Now, Lincoln, in continuing this comparison between Lincoln and Darwin, born the same day, February 12, 1809, Lincoln's last act in office was to put "In God We Trust" on all our national coins. Darwin, his theory is used to deny that there's a creator God. So here, Lincoln wants us to turn back to God. Darwin wants to erase God, right? Lincoln told his cabinet, September 22nd, 1862, the time for the enunciation of the emancipation policy can no longer be delayed. Public sentiment will sustain it. Many of my warmest friends and supporters demand it, and I have promised God that I will do it. And the Secretary of the Treasury, Salmon Portland Chase, asked, he said, "What did you mean you promised it to God?" And Lincoln said, "I made a solemn vow before God that if General Robert E. Lee were driven back from Pennsylvania, I would crown the result by the Declaration of Freedom to the Slaves." So here's Lincoln believing there's God, wanting us to have God on our coins, and then saying that the slaves are free because they're also made in the image of God. Lincoln said March 17, 1865, "Wherever I hear anyone arguing for slavery, I feel a strong impulse to see it tried on him personally." And then Lincoln said August 14, 1862, "It is difficult to make a man miserable while he feels he's worthy of himself and claims to be kindred to the great God who made him." So, and then again, the same subject, Lincoln says, April 6, 1859, "This is a world of compensation, and he who would be no slave must consent to have no slave. Those who deny freedom to others deserve it not for themselves, and under a just God cannot long retain it." So it's a fascinating comparison, both born the same day, February 12, 1809, and Lincoln is known for freeing the slaves. Darwin is known for communism, which has been used to enslave millions. Lincoln's known for putting "God We Trust" on our coins. Darwin's theory has been used to undermine the belief in God. So again, the wheat and tares grow together till the harvest. But on President's Day, we remember George Washington, we remember Abraham Lincoln, and we can remember all the different presidents who had faith and encouraged our country to seek God. And again, I've compiled all these quotes into a book. It's called Prayers and Presidents, Inspiring Faith from Leaders of the Past.
And it is a wonderful book, one of many that you have written, and I could recommend them all, and I will do so even now, but this one in particular, Prayers and Presidents. You gave us an overview of those presidents and their prayers. What touched you more than perhaps some other prayers as you were going through picking out what you were going to put in the book?
Yeah, I was amazed that John Adams had a national day of fasting and prayer during a threatened war with France. And he issued it twice, 1798, and then 1799. You had the fourth president, James Madison, during the War of 1812, when the British were burning the White House. James Madison had a day of fasting and prayer. And he's significant because he's the one who helped put together the First Amendment. And he's having a day of fasting. And then you go to ninth president, William Henry Harrison. He mentions the Antichrist in his inaugural address. He talks about it that in times of crises, how the tendency for power to concentrate needs to be watched. He says Julius Caesar concentrated power in Cromwell and Bolivar. And he says, like the false Christ whose coming was foretold by the Savior, they would seek to and persecute the true and most faithful disciples of liberty. So he's basically warning, watch out when there's crises, whether it's pandemic or whatever, for those that want to lock you down and take away your freedoms in the name of this crisis. Our country's been through that, and thank God we now have a president that wants to give back the freedoms to the people and take away this censorship of the government and so forth. But then when William Henry Harrison dies, John Tyler is the president, and he mentions Christianity and has a day of prayer. Zachary Taylor, the 12th president, there's a cholera epidemic. Cholera came from India, where people bathed in the sewage-filled Ganges River. And when the British East India Company took over India, people with the disease could travel quickly back to Europe. And it became the disease of the 19th century. Millions were dying in London and Paris and Munich and Moscow. And then it came to America. 150,000 Americans died of cholera in 1849. So the president, Zachary Taylor, has a day of fasting and prayer. I think it's amazing to have a president declare a day of fasting. And by the end of the month of August of 1849, the death rates drop off. Buchanan had a day of fasting and prayer prior to the Civil War. Lincoln had 2 days of fasting and prayer during the Civil War. And then you fast forward to World War I. Even Woodrow Wilson in 1918 had a day of fasting and prayer when we entered World War I. This is a Democrat president having a day of fasting and prayer to Almighty God. Woodrow Wilson gave out a New Testament to the soldiers, the New York Bible Society, the YMCA. And then you go to World War II, and Franklin Roosevelt is passing out Gideon's New Testaments and Book of Psalms to all the soldiers. And Franklin Roosevelt wrote the foreword, "As Commander-in-Chief, I take pleasure in commending the reading of the Bible to all who serve in the armed forces." President Harry S. Truman is the one who made the National Day of Prayer an annual event, and Ronald Reagan made it the first Thursday in May. And even when Apollo 13 had an oxygen tank explode and the whole world was praying, Nixon had a National Day of Prayer. We are a country. Bush had a National Day of Prayer and Remembrance, sort of falling short of prayer and fasting. At least he acknowledged God during the Katrina crises. So this has been our American tradition. And I think it's important for us to remember this when you run into people that say, our founders were a bunch of deists and atheists. It's like, where? They were acknowledging God. You have presidents from the very beginning. Congress, when Washington was being inaugurated, Congress had they entered session several weeks before the inauguration, and Congress gave the instructions for Inauguration Day. And it says, resolved, after President Washington shall swear in, he and the Vice President and the Senate and House shall go to St. Paul's Chapel, which is the oldest continuously in-use building in New York City. It says, the President shall go to St. Paul's Chapel and hear divine service by the chaplain. And the chaplain was Samuel Provoost, and he was the Episcopal Bishop of New York, and he was the chaplain of the U.S. Senate. But here, the first thing that Washington did as president was to go to church. So we have faith that's a part of our country, and we need to, I believe, get back to God. I think we've had a reprieve with this past election, and I know you can be airing this program in the future as well, but I believe God has been gracious and given America reprieve. But if we don't take advantage of it and seek the Lord, things could get bad again quickly.
Well, we want to remember to have time of prayer and fasting as we go before the Lord on this President's Day. This program being prepared for President's Day, Bill Federer, thank you so much for the information and for the enlightenment and the inspiration that you've given us. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
As we've told you, this is the Watchman on the Wall broadcast from SWRC, and we know that God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. We have Bill Federer's book available for you, Prayers and Presidents.
Today in our Resource Center, we're spotlighting Bill Federer's excellent book, Prayers and Presidents, Inspiring Faith from Leaders of the Past. This book is a great resource of inspiration for any student of history. You'll be uplifted and challenged by reading Prayers and Presidents. Order your copy today when you call 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. You can also order Prayers and Presidents on our website, swrc.com. Prayers and Presidents, Inspiring Faith from Leaders of the Past by Bill Federer. 1-800-652-1144. Friends, let the beauty of God's creation and the truth of His Word guide you in the new year with our brand new 12-month calendar filled with prophetic scriptures. Each month of the foretold and fulfilled 2025 prophecy calendar features a breathtaking landscape photo thoughtfully paired with a prophetic Bible verse and a short devotional to encourage and inspire your walk with God. Order your SWRC prophecy calendar today when you visit our website, swrc.com, or when you call 1-800-652-1144. And when you order the foretold and fulfilled prophecy calendar, you are making an eternal impact. Proceeds support the Onesimus Prisoner Outreach Ministry, which delivers hope, faith, and transformative resources to men and women in prison. Together, let's share the light of the gospel with those seeking redemption. Foretold and fulfilled, the 2025 prophecy calendar, 1-800-652-1144. Friends, we're so glad you're here today. If you're a new listener to Watchman on the Wall, make sure you request your new listener pack. Inside, you'll find the latest issue of our Prophetic Observer newsletter and a special gift. Request your free new listener pack when you call 1-800-652-1144. Tomorrow, Marginal Mysteries host Micah Van Hus will reveal if there is a connection between aliens and angels. Be sure to tune in by downloading our SWRC mobile app or by subscribing to our Watchman on the Wall podcast. Watchman on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful listeners like you. Visit swrc.com.